The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast, Saturday's edition of the podcast for you as we look ahead to the final day of action from glorious Goodwood. But it's a good day's racing on Saturday, 7 race cards to enjoy from Goodwood. There's also action from Doncaster, Newmarket, Thirsk, Eden cards from Lingfield and Hamilton, and the penultimate day from the Galway Festival as well. We've picked out 4 of the best races on Saturday from Goodwood to look forward to on this podcast. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined once more by Timeform's Jamie Lynch. Good morning, Jamie.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, you?
Yeah, I'm a bit weary because we're at the back end of not only Goodwood, but Galway as well. It seems to be a betting bonanza this week, and we're all feeling the effects. Some people will have smiles on their faces, some people will have frowns, but we've all been through an experience this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a bumper week of racing, and we've still got good racing to come, of course, on Saturday.
Yeah, excellent racing. We've got a Group 1 in the Nassau Stakes, and then we've got 3 really teasing, really intriguing handicaps to deal with. Effectively two divisions of the Stewards' Cup, and then a 3-year-old handicap over 1.5 miles, which could well produce some group performers of the future. There's lots of interesting horses going the right way, so plenty to talk about in this podcast, Sam.
Absolutely, and we'll take a look at those races shortly. But first up, we'll have a little look back to Thursday's racing. The Richmond Stakes, Ivorwood's taking out that race as many expected him to do. Went off at a short price, too short for many, but he certainly didn't disappoint, did it?
Yeah, Ivorwood is one of the best 2-year-olds we've seen so far this season, and he just cemented his reputation and position with a very dominant win in the Richmond Stakes. His price told you beforehand, everyone told you beforehand that he was by far and away the best horse in the race. That's certainly how it worked out, but he probably improved his form a bit further. He won that by 4.5 lengths, and probably the most pertinent point out of the whole race was when you see how both Jungle Cat and Moonraker tried to go with him in that midsection of the race, both of those two finished out on their feet. Jungle Cat just about hung on for third, but while they were flagging, Ivorwood just poured it on in front, and he's going to be a big player in the Group 1 race at the back end. He's raced only a 6 furlongs so far. He'll probably stay 7 furlongs, judging on the way he was finishing off there and his pedigree. So you're looking at races like the Dewhurst, if they want to stick to 6 furlongs, the Middle Park, but I'd be very surprised if he didn't end this season as a Group 1 winner, Sam.
Yeah, certainly. And speaking of Group 1s, we spoke yesterday about Highland Reel being installed as the co-favourite for the 2,000 Guineas. On the back of his Richmond Stakes win yesterday, Ivorwood is now the clear 8-1 favourite for the 2,000 Guineas. Can he go on to win that race?
Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. I suppose the one issue you might have with him regards next year is that he's very much the finished article right now. Look at the size of him compared to most others, certainly in the Richmond field, but also most of the 2-year-olds around. He's overdeveloped, if anything, and that physical edge has given him a form edge right through this season so far. So when a horse is as developed as he is as a 2-year-old, you just question whether they can go on and improve again as 3-year-olds. But still, look at the level of form he's showing. His best as a 2-year-old, as it stands, is good enough to get him far in the Guineas. If the Guineas was next week rather than next year, then he'd certainly be a sure price favourite for it. But still plenty of water to go under the bridge. He deserves his position at the perch of the Guineas market right now, but there's going to be a lot of other horses emerge who probably have a bit more scope for him in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly taking shape, that 2,000 Guineas field. Next race we'll look at from yesterday's action is the Goodwood Cup. A 1-2, of course, for Godolphin, with Cavalryman leading Azima home. A much-needed 1-2 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been unusual how both Kieran Fallon and Godolphin have been very thin on the ground as far as Goodwood has been concerned so far. But the bounce back, both of them, certainly as a pairing with Cavalryman, Kieran Fallon aboard that horse, but also as an operation, Godolphin, with that 1-2 that you mentioned, Cavalryman just beating Azima. It wasn't a great race in the event, was it? Because some of the bigger guns failed to fire. Brown Panther seemed to be feeling the effects of his series of hard races so far this season. Then there's the conundrum of Estimate and the fact that she's following last year's path of that all-or-nothing run at Ascot. She's clearly a fragile horse. There's big questions to answer whether she's going to even continue to race, let alone bounce back. And what was left was just more or less the established guard, Cavalryman and Arzima, fighting out a close finish. Arzima, if anything, was a bit unlucky not to catch Cavalryman, had to thread his way through, whereas Cavalryman had a much smoother passage. Interesting, wasn't it, that Saeb Bin Saroo nominated the Melbourne Cup for both of those two horses. It's a little bit late in certainly Cavalryman's life to be trying new ventures, but still, Godolphin will be pleased with that result, even though, in terms of the Cup races through the season, this would be one of the lesser ones, the Goodwood Cup.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll look forward to hopefully seeing those two again in the future. The Lanktree Stakes as well is the last race that we'll take a quick look at before we move on to Saturday's action. Miss United was a very game winner of that race. Unfortunately, retired since then. What did you make of the race?
Yeah, retired on the spot, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But what a way to bow out. It was the style of a win more than the actual level of form. She beat Arabian Comet, who was pretty much unheralded and certainly had the jump to make. Wiley was third. Talent didn't pick up as look likely at one stage, and some of the other horses who were expected to run well didn't. So Miss United only had to reproduce what she did at Royal Ascot, but it was the manner of the win. The fact that she was challenged on all sides right throughout the straight, and she just highlighted everything that's good about her and that we've seen through the season. Not many horses retire with her CV. Galway Plate winner and Group 3 winner on the flat, also with a placed effort in the Ascot Gold Cup. So she bows out very much on a high. At least it wasn't a serious injury that put her life at risk. Obviously, her racing career has now come to an end, but there are, throughout this season, there's been many sparkling performances. There'll be great performances to come in form terms. But in terms of wearing your heart on the sleeve, in terms of being a racehorse and wanting to win, Miss United almost tops anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned there, a fantastic way for her to bow out. Really, really game performance, and it'll be sad to see her go. But we'll look ahead to Saturday's racing now. First up for us on the podcast is the 205 six furlong handicap Class 2 contest, this one. And just the 28 runners in this field. stepping out probably stands out from the field. He's chasing a hat-trick. Talk me through this one, Jamie.
Yeah, stepping out is only a three-year-old, so had far less experience and less racing than most of the others in this field. Most of the rest are the usual regular customers as far as top-end sprint handicaps go. But stepping out is doing something slightly different because she's a real improver. She won her last two. She's done it in very tidy style. And one of those two wins was at the track over this course and distance. And something we've talked about all week, Sam, and something that's been proved right all week, is having a bit of Goodwood experience counts for an awful lot. And the fact that stepping out has been there and done that as far as the track is concerned is a big plus point in her favour. Now, she has got a bit more on here because she's going in deeper than she's ever been. She's higher in the waist than she's ever been. And this is a slightly different race compared to anything she's been in before. She's mostly been in 9-10 runner fields. But now, look at this. We've got a full field of horses charging up the Goodwood straight track. She's going to need a bit of luck. But yes, you're right, Sam. She is the number one starting point because of that profile. But she's well found in the market. She's likely to be favourite, or certainly one of the favourites, and there are several others in here who have got just as compelling claims for maybe different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just having a little flick through the card there. I think there's only two horses, I make it, that haven't won over six furlongs. So plenty of horses that know how to win at this distance, Jamie. Outside stepping out, who are you looking at?
Yeah, well, Tat Lisu, number 11 on the card, representing Richard Fahey. There's no more informed sprinter than him in the whole field. He is absolutely thriving right now. Last time out, he was second in the Scottish Stewards' Cup up at Hamilton. Just failed to get up there, but it's more his previous win. He beat Muth Mia, and Muth Mia is going to be a horse we'll talk about a lot when it comes to the Stewards' Cup itself. He's one of the favourites. He has since won at York, and for Tat Lisu to beat him is proof that we've got a well-handicapped and a thriving horse on our hands here. Ryan Moore has been booked. He rode the horse last year to victory, and that was just a claimer. This horse has come an awful long way since then. It's one of those classic Richard Fahey improvers who just gets better every time he turns up, and he's certainly going to be a big player here, Sam. But likewise, with stepping out, he's well found in the market too.
Yeah, certainly looks like a good profile for Tat Lisu there. If you were to take one maybe at a bigger price, cause of course with 28 runners, you can get quite a bit of each way value.
Yeah, plenty of each way value to be going around and plenty of lurkers in there, plenty of horses who are doing something different, or if they do bounce back, then they are well handicapped. And I've picked out a couple who look good to me for various reasons. The first one to talk about is Secondo. It's number 4 on the card. It's Roger Charlton's horse. James Doyle, Roger Charlton's regular jockey when he's not riding, of course, for Khaled Abdullah. This is a really interesting horse, this, because as a 3-year-old last year, Secondo looked like a horse who was really going places. He looked like he might make a listed group class sprinter, never mind a good handicapper. And this season, it hasn't really happened for him, but there's been excuses, big excuses. Firstly, at Newmarket in a big field, at the Guineas meeting, he just got a bit lost, and he also got a bit... It was a bit of a poor ride, really, because he switched groups several times, found himself in a bad position, and that was much the same happened again at Windsor last time out. He just found himself in a hopeless position as the race went. So I'm willing to put a line through both those runs this season and concentrate more on his 3-year-old form, on which he's really well handicapped, having dropped back down the weights. And this track and this style of race should suit him ideally. He's a horse with a high cruising speed, and what you need at Goodwood is exactly that, because it's a fast track, it's going to go a strong gallop, and Secondo will be ideally equipped to cope with this, I should imagine. So Secondo, one of the bigger price ones, is interesting. Likewise, Englishman, number 10, another one who just hasn't had that much experience of big field sprint handicaps, but every start this season, he's looked like this could be tailor-made for him. He's finished runner-up on his last two starts, latest over 7 furlongs when he travelled just about best of all before checking out at the finish, finishing behind Dark Emerald. But he's a horse who strikes us at time form as one who will be ideally suited by the demands of the very race we've got here. So Englishman and Secondo are two horses who, they just got a sense of unfinished business about them, and they could easily pick up their form now they face this scenario. The most solid for me out of the market leaders, the one who's bound to be thereabouts, is Tatlisu, because he's very much in the zone right now. But a couple of horses who have the scope to improve, Englishman number 10, and probably first on my list, Sam, number 4, Secondo.
Okay then, plenty for our listeners to go out there. Hopefully Jamie's pointed you towards the direction of a winner in that one. Next up is the 240 that we'll look at, the Jaguar Handicap, Class 2 over 1 mile and 4 furlong. King's Fate and Second Step are chasing a hat-trick. What interests you in this race?
Yeah, two really sexy horses there, representing big stables with great pedigrees who are going the right way. King's Fate, you know, this is definitely a group horse in the making. He's not yet the finished article, and yet he's won his last two races. They are very strong form, and last time out at York, he did lots wrong and still managed to catch Mighty Yar. Mighty Yar is one of the favourites for the Ebor at York at this month, it is now, isn't it? This month's festival there, the Ebor Festival, and King's Fate caught him and did really well to get to him because he pulled hard, not only going to post, but also early in the race. He's got a hood on for the first time here. I'm not surprised at that. It's just a calming measure to help him settle, help him relax. And it's the strength of form as well as his profile that makes King's Fate. He has to be on your shortlist.
Okay, then, yeah, it certainly looks a really impressive horse for Sir Michael Stout and James Doyle. Again, we've got 16 runners here, so a fairly decent-sized field. Are you looking at anything against the two favourites?
Yeah, I am actually. Just because of the nature of Goodwood and the nature of these races, we've seen surprises all week. We've seen horses meeting trouble and being unlucky, some not handle the track. So it's still a bit dangerous ground to just assume that something's going to continue the way they have been. And with the idea that Goodwood form counts for a lot, check out this one, number 10, Oasis Fantasy. Now, really interesting this. Ed Dunlop has booked Richard Hughes. Obviously, no better jockey for Goodwood than Richard Hughes. He's got another trouble of booking Hughesy. And Oasis Fantasy is a fast improver. And crucially, he won at Goodwood 2 starts back, won very smoothly from Rocket Ship. But it's his last run that tells me that this is still a really well-handicapped horse. He was second behind Battersea, shaped really well that day, finishing from a long way back, too far back, considering how the race went. But back in third that day, the winner was Battersby. The second was Oasis Fantasy, and the third was Made in Rio, the Mark Johnston horse, who went on a right run subsequent to that and obviously shaped best at Goodwood in the week before finding her stamina stretched. So Oasis Fantasy, he's got the strength of form, he's got the Goodwood form, he's got Richard Hughes up, and he strikes me, Sam, as the likely value alternative against those sexy horses from the really big new market yard. So Oasis Fantasy, for me, might represent some value here in what, as you said, and is completely right again, an incredibly tough race.
Okay then, fair enough. That's the thoughts of Jamie on the 240 then. We'll move on to one of the bigger races of the day now, the Nassau Stakes, of course, coming up at 3:15, Group 1 for the fillies. 1 mile, 1 furlong this, and we've got betting already. Venus de Milo leads the market at 5-2. It's 10-3 for Narnian. Mango Diva is 9-2. Sultania, 9-2. Amazing Maria, 7-1. Lustrous, 12-1. And the outsider of them all is Eastern Bell, the 16-1 shot. What are your thoughts for this race, Jamie?
Yeah, well, talking generally about the race, Sam, I know that it's our job to be enthusiastic about racing and to talk it up, but we have to tell the truth sometimes. This is a weak renewal of the Nassau Stakes. These aren't really Group 1 fillies, and this is a very winnable race. And just listening to the prices that you read out there, Mango Diva is the one who hits me straight away as the one who's overpriced in the race. And it's almost because of the deficiencies, or certainly the doubts, about the two ahead of her. Let's talk about Venus de Milo. Aidan O'Brien, yes, she's got Group 1 form, certainly, but that Group 1 form has come over a mile and a half. Her two best runs in her life were in the Irish Oaks and in the Yorkshire Oaks, finished second both times. On that form, yes, she deserves to be favourite, and yes, she'll probably win, but a mile and a half on a galloping track is very different to a mile and a quarter on very fast ground on a very sharp track such as Goodwood. And I wouldn't be surprised if Venus de Milo was found wanting for a bit of pace at a crucial stage. It's something we've talked about all week, and it's something that has been highlighted in the racing. A bit of speed, in fact a lot of speed, counts for everything at Goodwood. And if you struggle for a bit of tactical speed at a crucial part of the race, as Venus de Milo conceivably will do, then it could be game over. And the other thing about the French raider, Narnian, really interesting in terms of the profile. She won 4 in a row prior to just being out of her depth in a Group 1 against the males last time out. It was the race in which Noble Mission was just touched off the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. 4th was the best she could manage there. And that puts her in with a really good chance in this lesser level race, certainly against her own sex. But the problem with Narnian is that she's only ever raced on good or softer ground at home in France. It's a big question mark about her, given how fast the ground is racing at Goodwood this week. And Narnian has something to prove in that regard. On the other hand, Mango Diva, although strictly speaking on the figures, she's a little bit behind Narnian and Venus de Milo. She relishes fast ground, and she also is very much in the form of her life. She proved that last time out at the Curra when she won a Group 2. Got there late on, but that was only 9 furlongs. Going back up to a mile and a quarter, it'll certainly suit her. Getting on this fast ground will certainly suit her. And there's lots of good portents for her other than that. Dank, the horse who went on to win the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, for Sir Michael Stout. She won that Curra race last time out on her way up. It's clearly a race that's on Sir Michael Stout's radar, as in fact is the Nassau. He's won this, Sam, 7 times. He knows the type of filly required to win this Group 1. And Mango Diva, even though theoretically only a Group 2 horse, she could easily win this because it's a very winnable Nassau Stakes. And I'd be surprised, Sam, if she was as big as 9-2 at the off.
Okay, then, Mango Diva for Jamie then, on the basis of a weak field and fast ground for Mango Diva, yeah, currently available at 9-2 here with William Hill. And get it while you can would be the advice from Jamie for that one. Next up is the 3:50, the Stewards' Cup. Obviously, the big race of the day, this one, the one that everybody's looking forward to. This is a 6 furlong class 2 contest, and we've got betting on this one as well. It's Intrinsic and Muthmere who lead the markets, both at 7-1. Discussion to follow is 8-1, 11-1 for Auburn Star, 14-1 bar those. Intrinsic chasing the 4-timer here, completed a hat-trick at Goodwood. Can you separate the top two in the market?
Yeah, these are, you know, we have got 3 standouts here. In fact, we've got Intrinsic, who's upwardly mobile. We've got Discussion to Follow, who likewise is going the right way. And we've got Muthmere, the horse who won at York just last weekend, picks up a £6 penalty, and he is definitely a group horse in the making. Those three do stand out because the rest, although they are well entitled to be in the Stewards' Cup field, we know more or less how good they are. With these three, we don't quite know what their limits are as yet. Let's take them individually. Muthmere had just 6 runs in his life, was second to Tatlisu, as we mentioned, regards him in that earlier race. Look out for that consolation race, because if Tatlisu runs well, then that's a good pointer for Muthmere, who finished second behind him. That was his first start of the season. Obviously, he went one better in some style at York last time out. He is a time form top rated. It's understandable because of the level of form he achieves, and he picks up just a £6 penalty, when in fact, he's going to go up 10, 11, even 12 on the back of that win. So Muthmere, from a form perspective, is a good fit for this race. Where he might have a potential problem, Sam, is that he's drawn two. That's right over on the far side. The other two big guns, both Discussion to Follow and Intrinsic, are drawn 22 and 23. They're next to each other. And having such a, you know, a high-quality opponent right next to you obviously helps in these scenarios. And what else helps those two is the fact that the front runners in the race, the obvious ones, Ashpan Sam, 21, Seeking Magic, 22, Mar Mar in 24. The pace seems to be all high, which is very much an Intrinsic and Discussion to Follow's favour, whereas Muthmia might well find himself a bit marooned over on that far side. And out of the two, Intrinsic and Discussion to Follow, I really like Intrinsic because of the fact that he's unbeaten this season, his first season with Robert Cowell, who obviously has such a touch with these sprinters. Intrinsic is definitely getting the Robert Cowell magic worked upon him. It's the strength of form of his two wins. It's the fact he's won at Goodwood, where he beat Ashpan Sam. Ashpan Sam is a horse who takes some catching on these downhill tracks, and Intrinsic managed to do that. He's gone up £6, but he could easily have gone up a lot more for that. So Intrinsic makes all sorts of sense. Handicapping point of view, profile point of view, and crucially that draw. So out of the big three, I do like Intrinsic, with Discussion to Follow obvious case to be made for him too.
Okay then, Intrinsic collided with the time recording with us here at 7-1 with William Hill. Again, we've got a 28 runner field here, so of the others, are you looking at anybody else to maybe sneak into the frame?
Well, I've got a direct debit on Ninjago. This is a horse who I can't help but back. I'm not going to miss the big day. I've been to the funeral loads of times with this horse. I want to be there when he finally gets married to one of these big handicaps that he's got his name on. So last year, as a three-year-old, he finished fifth in the Stewards' Cup, but considering where he came from, right out the back, he probably shaped just about best of all. And he was amongst the favourites for the Wokingham last time out. But a combination of the track and the draw just didn't really get to the bottom of Ninjago. He's been deserted here by Richard Hughes for Intrinsic, understandably so, given Intrinsic's one of the favourites. But at least Ninjago's got Ryan Moore on, and at least he's got that experience of a Stewards' Cup. So Ninjago is a horse who definitely, Sam, I absolutely promise you that Ninjago is going to win a big sprint handicap one day. I've yet to actually pick the day, but I'm not going to miss out in case he does something good here. And he'll certainly be finishing really strongly. He's drawn in the middle, so he's got options either way. And often, the field might come down the centre anyway, so I quite like that middle draw. But Ninjago, he very nearly won the Stewards' Cup last year. If it had been another 50 yards, he would have done. And he comes here a fresh horse, and certainly an informed horse, more so than the Wokingham Shored. So Ninjago, for an each-way play, Sam, I'm not going to miss out on him.
OK, then, Jamie, keeping the faith with Ninjago, then, who's available at 20-1, if you want to back that. If you could just remind us one more time, please, Jamie, your four selections for the last day of Goodwood.
Yeah, four selections for the last day at Goodwood. Tremendously trappy day. Yeah. We're going in the first four, Secondo, Roger Charlton's horse, number four on the card, Secondo. And then, in the mile and a half handicap for three-year-olds, number 10, Oasis Fantasy. Goodwood winner, who finished ahead of Maiden Rio last time. Oasis Fantasy, the improver in that race with Richard Hughes aboard. And then, in the Nassau Stakes, I really like Mango Diva. I think that she's the best bet in the race, and possibly the best bet on the whole card as well. That's a winnable Nassau, and she's got the right tools to win it. And then finally, the Stewards' Cup. You'll allow me two here, Sam, surely.
Yeah.
Out of the big guns, we're going for Intrinsic, with a high draw looking a positive for him. And the each-way selection, the horse who I'm going to follow for the rest of the season, perhaps even the rest of my life, number 7, Ninjago, the each-way play in the Stewards' Cup.
OK, thanks very much. There we go. The thoughts of Timeform's Jamie Lynch on this William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And join us on Saturday for all the action. Darren Owen, James Millman and Gary Capel are in the studio with you. Goodwood, of course, Doncaster, Newmarket, Thirsk, evening meetings from Lingfield and Hamilton, and the penultimate day of the Galway Festival as well. Should be a great day's racing on Saturday. Make sure you join us here. In the meantime, it's been a pleasure to speak to you once more, Jamie, and I hope you enjoy the final day at Goodwood.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Fingers crossed that one of those horses managed to get the head in front. But it's been a great week. Been great talking to you, and thanks for your help.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.